Last 3 weeks, this is week number three. It's going to end for today, this series of sermons, but we've been talking about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And I told you last week I wanted to speak about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but it would have been not the right thing to do because we needed to back up, make sure that everybody understood the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and then we would move forward, and today we would speak about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or being filled with the power of God. The sermon title is Being Filled with Power. So last week we spent our time speaking about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now turn with me to John chapter 14. We're going to do just a little bit of review, and then we're going to move forward. So John chapter 14. You're hearing a sermon today that is not preached about in the churches today. You're sitting in a church today that is going to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, evidenced by the evidence of speaking in tongues, and it's not being spoke about in the church today. It's not being preached about in the church today, and it's something that the church is missing out on in the power of God, because the church needs the power of God to move. The church needs the power of God to touch people's lives, and the church needs the power of God to draw people in. It's not by man's strength or wisdom, it's by the anointing and the presence of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14, you go to verse 15. I've got a lot of scripture. I give Andrew a whole page of scripture. I said, if you need more, I'll give you some more to write down to put on the overhead. But in John chapter 14, verse 15, it says this: if you love me and keep my commandments, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Jesus had already told the disciples that he was leaving. In the same chapter, if you back up a page, go to John chapter 14, verse 1. It's something we've been talking about in CE about heaven. It says, let not your heart be troubled in verse 1. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also, and where I go you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Here in verse 18, what does he say? I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. He tells him, I will not leave you as orphans. In verse 16 and 17, and I will pray the Father, he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. You cannot receive the Spirit of the truth. You cannot receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit if you do not know Jesus. You cannot know it. So when you talk to a world that is dying today and lost in a dying world, and you have the Spirit of God that's speaking to your heart to reach out to them, and you pray that the Spirit of God will touch their life to bring them into the knowledge of the truth, that they will know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, then they can know, because he will be in them. The scripture says here in verse 16 and 17 that the Comforter would be with them. But not only with them, as you read the words, he says, I will be in them. He says in verse 17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you. And what? He will be in you. The Comforter would be with them, but not only with them, but in them. This Comforter would be the living presence of in their lives, would be the presence of the Holy Spirit. Look at chapter 14 and verse 20. In verse 20 it says this: at the day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and what? I in you. Verse 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me, he will be loved by my Father. I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him through the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 25 and 26, this helper has a job to do. And when you look at verse 25, it says this, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Are you listening to the Holy Spirit, saints? Are you listening to God's guidance? Are you listening to God's direction? Are you sitting under the tutelage of the Holy Spirit teaching you about the Lord Jesus Christ? Because Jesus says, I will not only be with you, I will be in you through the presence of the Holy Spirit. He's going to teach you. He's going to teach you about me. He's going to teach you about the kingdom of God. He's going to tell you what direction, what leadership that you need to have in your life. Amen. Verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I have said to you. Now turn with me to John 16, verse 7. In John 16 and verse 7, it says this, John 16, verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage. The old King James Version is expedient. Expedient that I go, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is of mine. He will declare it unto you, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine, and he will declare it unto to you. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit in your lives is called by different names. It's the same Spirit that is revealed to us by the different functions he does. The Helper, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth. Self-same Spirit, but functioning in the different needs that we may have to teach, to comfort, to equip, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now listen to me. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is received automatically when you receive Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, we won't go there, but you're very well aware of what it is. We become a new creation in Christ Jesus when we are born again. The Spirit of the living God is birthed in your life at that time. Today, we want to move from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and we want to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This same Spirit wants to fill your life. He wants to fill your walk. He wants to fill your talk, your witness, your prayer life, with the power from that is on high that is available to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. But you need to ask for it. Look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 5. Acts chapter 1 and verse 5. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 5, it says this. In verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Verse 8, same chapter. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, all of Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. John the Baptist, the last of the Old Testament prophets, already prophesied of this event. Now we're going to come back to Acts, but turn with me to Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. In Matthew chapter 3 In verse 11, it says this. He says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Luke is a companion book to the book of Acts. So if you're going to read two books and you want to read them exactly by the same author in concordance with one another, you would read Luke, the Gospel of Luke, and then you would go to Acts, because he's the writer of the book of Acts. So in this book, if you turn to Luke, turn with me to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, and I'm going to show you the connection between the two books. So Luke chapter 24, and you're going to go down to verse 46. So Luke 24, verse 46. In 24 and verse 46 of Luke, it says this. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are what? Until you are endued with power from on high. Now look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And this is what it says in Acts 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. Where? Starting where? Jerusalem. And all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 1. I know I'm giving you a lot of scripture, but it's very, very important to make sure that we understand. Make sure that we understand what we're talking about is the truth, is the Word of God. I never want you, as a pastor, I never want you to believe me. I want you to believe this. This is what we need to be turning to. This is the authoritative statement that is made to us through the power of God today. This is His truth. These are God's words that He breathed on this piece of paper. So it's God's breath in written form. And He's got it for us today. That we should never walk, that we're not without power. We're not ever without authority. The church has got the power and the authority to do the same work today as Jesus did when He walked this earth, and you do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. What did Jesus say? We read those words in the book of John. He says, you will not only do what I do, you will do more than I do, because I go to the Father. We have the universal presence of the power of the Holy Spirit. You can have the baptism here. You can have the baptism in China, and you can have the baptism in Japan, and people moving under the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, touching lives for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were with all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And when they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Immediately after this event, and just like we are in society today, people started criticizing. I've already been criticized on the platform, but I am not backing down. So we're going to put you on YouTube, and we're going to speak about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're going to speak about speaking in other tongues. And I know that there's going to be backlash, but you got to have backlash to go forward for the presence of God. So we know that already here people are starting to criticize in the Scripture. Look at verse 6. So we're still in Acts chapter 2, verse 6. Verse 6 says, and when this sound occurred, and the multitude came together and were what? Confused. Because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Verse 12. Verse 12 says this, so they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? In verse 13, others were mocking. He said, they are full of new wine. Over and over and over. People that criticize the power of God, I believe, has got a special place in hell. That they're hindering the gospel from going forth into people's lives. I shared earlier, this is a message that you will hear in this church, you probably won't hear in any other church in this county, or very few. Because people don't preach it, they don't teach it, they don't talk about it, and they're limiting their church with the power that is available to each and every one of us. And we're going to get to the individual power that you have in your own life, and why that you want this, and why you want to receive it. People were saying, well, boy, I don't know, I don't understand. I question this. I have to figure this out. Just like me, when I shared my testimony 3 weeks ago, when I told the preacher, well, I got to figure this salvation thing out, and when I get it all figured out and I make up my mind, then I'll come to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior if that's what he wants me to do. And what did he say? You will never understand. It is spiritually discerned. It's spiritually discerned because you are an unbeliever. The Spirit of God is not in you. You have to accept, receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and then he reveals it to you. Amen. When you have everything about God figured out, saints, and you have everything understood in the Bible today, because Pastor Leo doesn't. Pastor Leo doesn't know everything that there is about God, and Pastor Leo doesn't know everything that there is about the Word of God. When you get it figured out, and if you're going to wait to move for God until you get that figured out, but after you get it figured out, I want you to come to me, because I got some questions I'd like to ask you. Now, there have been people that I have run into that thought they did have everything figured out, and sometimes those people scare me. Look at what people don't preach about today. They don't preach about the Old Testament because it's old and it's ugly. The book of Revelations, well, we can't understand it, so we don't preach about that. The book of Acts, because it speaks about speaking in tongues, and our church, our denomination, doesn't believe in speaking in tongues. And since our denomination does not believe that, we most certainly are not going to be doing much preaching in the book of Acts. Well, in the Old Testament, you have the Ten Commandments. And they're just as live and vital today as they were when they were written. So we can't throw out the Old Testament. Look at what he says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, about the book of Revelations. So I turn to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3. I won't get too far off the subject, but we'll make this little detour. Revelations chapter 1 and verse 3. And he says, blessed is he, and I will add she, who reads and hear and those and who, I'll say it again, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Blessed are they that read. In the book of Acts is where the power of God fell on the believer's life. The book of Acts is about one-third of the New Testament. Are you ready to throw it out? But listen to me a little bit more. The book, the Bible, is not written in chronological order. You understand that. It's divided out so you would have better understanding and better way for you to search and find the Scripture. But within the book of Acts, Paul has three missionary journeys. And at the end of that missionary journey, he ends up in Roman prison. He goes to Rome. Now listen to me, what's in the covers of the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, you have Paul's first, second, and third missionary journeys, which include Galatians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Romans, Ephesians, Philemon, Philippians, Colossians, arrested in Rome, where he wrote 1 Timothy and Titus, all within the cover of the book of Acts. Don't you be throwing out the book of Acts. You stand on the book of Acts. You stand on the power of God, and you stand in the truth of God. What I am talking about today, if there's any way that Satan can hinder you from ever receiving what I'm talking about, he's going to hinder you any way that he can. The reason why he wants to hinder you Why? It's because he doesn't want you walking in power. He doesn't want you walking in authority. He doesn't want you operating in the gift of the Spirit. Why? Because it hinders you and it hinders the church. So even though today, you might say, well, I don't know. I just don't know, Pastor Leo. I was raised in a Methodist church. I was raised in a Baptist church. Oh, my, I've heard all kinds of things about that. They say, no, 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 no. And I'm telling you, saints, you better listen to the Word of God and listen to what God is saying to our heart. Now, has anybody in this congregation ever heard of Moody? Old-time preacher. I'm going to give you a story. I didn't write it down, but I think it's worthwhile to give. He started his ministry, and it was growing and growing and growing. And every time that he went to preach, there was two little old ladies that were sitting on the front row. And every time he'd go to the next sermon time, them two little ladies were sitting right there. Their two ladies were Free Methodists. And he went to those ladies after a sermon one day, and he said, ladies, why do you keep coming to my service? Because we're praying for you because you need the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And he thought, me? Look at all these people. They're coming. They're listening to me. People being saved. But what they were telling him is that he would have a greater ministry. He would have a wider reach ministry if he allowed himself to be powered by the power of the Holy Spirit and not powered by himself, being guided by the indwelling of the Spirit. He went to a hotel room, he took it for 3 days, and he buried himself in that room seeking God. And when he come out of there, he was already born again, but he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. He saved over 1 million souls from burning in hell today. And Crossroads Gospel Church, we need to save another 1 million from burning in hell. Amen? Hallelujah. We can only do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. How much of that do you want of the gospel and Acts to be thrown out? And it all happened because the power of God fell on the believers' lives, is why we're talking about it today. I've heard preachers say, well, it happened then, but it doesn't happen today. And I will ask you to show me in the Bible where that is written. If it doesn't happen anymore, does salvation happen anymore? Does healing happen anymore? Does answered prayer happen anymore? Saints, we need to embrace the full gospel message instead of trying to explain it away. Look at Peter's explanation in Acts chapter 2. We go back to Acts chapter 2, verse 14. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. He says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, and this is after they were denying it, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this, what was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Now stop there just for a second. We're living in the last days. We are not living in end times. Now let me get that straight in your head and straight in my head as well. We started last days, and we are living in the last days. End times does not start until the tribulation period. Okay, you got it? So that is when end times happens. What you are living in right now is the last days before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what does it say here in the scripture? That this would happen when? In the last days. So he says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see vision, and the old men shall dream dreams. And on my maidservant and on my maidservants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Now look, turn with me to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. We're almost done. You hang in there with me. I know it's a little longer message today, but it's worth the sit. Acts 19, verse 1. At this time, Paul is on his third missionary trip. So what I'm reading here in Acts chapter 19 was written between 53 and 56 A.D. So if we go, let's just say this is 50 years. This is 50 years after Jesus' death and resurrection and what were happening in people's lives. They were still being baptized in the Holy Spirit, evidenced by speaking in tongues. So 50 years after Christ's death, people were still being baptized. And we'll still continue to be baptized in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, evidenced by speaking in tongues, until the Lord returns. Amen. When you get to heaven, you won't need this. You won't need the guidance, you won't need the direction, because you'll be in heaven with God. Hallelujah. So in this scripture, Acts chapter 19, verse 1, "And it happened when Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' So they said to him, 'We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit.' And he said to them, 'Into what were you baptized?' So they said, 'Into John's baptism.' John's baptism was a baptism of repentance, preparing the way for the coming of the Lord." Well, listen to what he says, go after that. "Then Paul said, 'And John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who come after him, that is on Christ Jesus.' So when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit come upon them, and they spoke with tongues, and they prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all." The indwelling of the Holy Spirit, for review, is given to each and every one of us when we accept Jesus at new birth. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not given until you ask for it. It's up to you to ask and to seek. Many never will, and that's okay. Is it a requirement of this church? No. Do I think any less of you? No. Do I think you're just as spiritual as me? Yeah, sure. Is it a requirement for salvation? And the answer is no. What does Romans 10 say? "He that believes in his heart, confesses with his mouth, shall be saved." There are no second-class citizens at Crossroads Gospel Church. So why do I want it? Not only to witness, to empower my witness, not only to empower my testimony, but is there something else? Maybe you say, "Well, I'm really not going to be a witnesser anyway. And I'm not one to go around sharing my testimony, so that probably won't be me anyway, so I probably don't need it." Is there another reason? And that's what we're getting down to today. The other reason, I'm going to give you two. I could give you a lot more, but I'm only going to give you two. Turn with me to Jude chapter 1. Jude is a little book back there, right before Revelations. But if you look at Jude chapter 1, verse 20, "And saints, if you believe in the word of God, and you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you evidence by speaking in tongues, you make sure you have these two scriptures underlined in your Bible, and I'll explain why." In Jude chapter 1, this is what he says in verse 20. "But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith," praying how? "Praying in the Holy Spirit." And what is it speaking about? It's about a person, because you have this prayer language, is to use that prayer language and pray in it. "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." When I, your pastor, when I get anxious, when I get discouraged, when I get depressed, what does your pastor do? I pray in the Holy Spirit. Because it will take it away. If you want to strengthen your walk and be stronger in your walk for the Lord Jesus Christ, then I encourage you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. If you want to help yourself, that you can strengthen yourself in your walk and not be so struggling with anxiety and depression and discouragement, then I encourage you to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Mondays are down days for pastors. You may have heard this in some other church that you've been in, but a pastor can really get beat up on Monday. And who is the one that's beating him up? It's Satan wants to beat him up. All of a sudden, Pastor Leo has ministered, and he's ministered, and he's ministered. And what did Jesus say? Who touched me? When the lady went up and touched the throne of his garment, he said, who touched me? Because he felt the essence going out of him. When Pastor Leo preaches on Sunday, by the time I get home on Sunday afternoon, you could pour me out in a bucket, because I am so drained, because everything that I've got, and you deserve every bit of it, everything that I've got, I want to lay it all right down on the table. When you are in a weakened state, who likes to step in there and attack you? The adversary likes to beat you up. On Mondays, it can be days that he will try to beat me up, and you know what I do? I just start praying in the Spirit. I start praying in the Spirit, and the powers of darkness is swept away from me. Number one, if you want to strengthen your walk, you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Number two is to empower your prayer life. How many times have you prayed for a son or a daughter or a grandchild or a spouse, and you say, Lord, I just don't know how to pray, and I don't know what words to say. Now, what have we said? The Holy Spirit that dwells within your life is in perfect harmony with God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. If you will allow the Holy Spirit to intercede through you, he's interceding in perfect will of God, and he's standing in the gap for you and interceding through you over that need that you are asking. I want to share it with you. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. It's the last scripture I'm going to share with you today. Have I wore you out yet? Oh no, Pastor Leo, we want more. And the other group says, Pastor Leo, we want you to shut up. I got dinner cooking. Verse 26. In verse 26, it says this, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us, and through us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, I would share with you today, as the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that's in your life through new birth, that the Holy Spirit is interceding through you on your behalf. But if you want to increase that, you want to manifold that, you want to power that up, then you want to pray in the Holy Spirit, because it's words that only from you. When you are praying in tongues, brother and sister, you can't get in between that prayer. It's God's Spirit being out of your spirit to God. You can't get in the way. You can't put your thoughts in it. You can't put your thinking in it. You're just allowing the Holy Spirit to intercede through you to the throne of glory. Nothing that is in between. Have you come upon something that you say, I don't know how to pray? Then you let the Holy Spirit pray. Lord, I want that baptism. I need that. Your pastor would not be standing here today if it didn't happen to me. It's the power of God that he wants in each and every one of your lives. Baptize me in the Holy Spirit. Immerse me in that power. When you believe, you receive, saints. You have to believe to receive. Do you believe? And are you ready to receive it? Now, many times people won't receive it the first time they seek it. Does that mean you stop seeking it because God doesn't want to give it to you? I want you to know God wants to give it to everybody in this room. God wants everybody to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and he wants everybody after that to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit to power their lives to be witnesses and strengthen them in their walk. Father, we thank you for this day and for this service. Lord, our lives will never be the same. We will never be the same even if we don't receive the baptism, because you have changed our life. Thank you, Lord, for your glory, and thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.